This is hour number three. You're in the jungle. I am Jim Rome. By now, you know the show is brought to you by Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans. Rocket Mortgage is with you every step of the way to provide a seamless mortgage experience. Coming up in 20 minutes, LAFC head coach Bob Bradley. 1-800-636-8686 is the number two call. Last chance to get through. If you want to RSVP, take a run on a golden ticket, respond to anything you heard in hours one or two, you have the number, use it. Hit me on Twitter, as always, at Jim Rome, R-O-M-E. Email me at Rome, R-O-M-E, at haveatake.com. Got some more advice about the smack-off. In fact, let me go there right now. If you're on hold, do not hang up. I've got one guy trying to take one more shot at a golden ticket. I've got another guy who's in the field. Should I go there right now? Let me get this information out to you first. Do not hang up if you're on hold. I want to get to you. By now, you should know, though, the smack-off is 2 days out. And I've been hyping the ever-living hell out of this for weeks now. And with just cause. Because it's going to be great. None of us can wait. But we're going to have to. And the wait's a good thing because it affords you some time to dial in your setup for Friday. A few days ago, I talked about final preparations for the callers. Now I want to direct this to the listeners. Final preparations for you listeners. If that's you, listen the hell up. It's brass tacks time in the jungle. I'm about to answer every single question you might have as it relates to the smack-off on Friday. Alvin, put this at the very front of the Daily Jungle podcast. Big Head, James Kelly, put this on the homepage at jimrome.com. Stucknut, make sure this is the take at the top of your website. All right, here it is. I'm going to run it all down for you quickly. Number one, how can you listen to the smack-off on Friday? Here's how. The smack-off is going to be live on terrestrial radio via the CBS Sports Radio Network. If you have a local affiliate, you're in. You're good. If you don't know about your local affiliate, head to jimrome.com/stations. Again, jimrome.com/stations. On that page, you can search by city and find out if the show is carried in your area on either an AM or FM dial. If you know that you do not have an affiliate, then Sirius XM, channel 206 is another option. If you do not have an affiliate and you do not have satellite radio, then you can stream the entire program for free on jimrome.com. If you're in the car without an affiliate, without satellite radio, you obviously cannot use your computer. Pull out your smartphone, search in your app store for the radio.com app. Again, the app is radio.com. I know it sounds like a website. I know that's confusing for some of you, but it's actually an app. It's free. The app is free. It's radio.com. So now you're covered either on the radio, on satellite, on a stream, or on your phone. Now, if you want to watch the smack off, make sure to be on CBS Sports Network. It's televised. Channel 221 on DirecTV, channel 158 on Dish. If you have cable, check your local listings at CBSSportsNetwork.com. This is how you can watch and listen. Now, you got that. How do you participate? Great question. The absolute best place to participate is on Twitter. If you want to see what other clones are saying and how they're live scoring, then go to TweetDeck.com. I mention this every single year. This is the best way to participate and do it. Go to TweetDeck.com, add a column with my handle in it. All right? Go to TweetDeck.com, add at Jim Rome to a column. This will automatically pull every tweet with my handle in it and put it right in front of you in real time. Now, the best part about TweetDeck is you can instantly start interacting with other clones who you otherwise would never have found because you don't know their Twitter name. So following my handle in a TweetDeck column will put the entire smack-off conversation right in front of you instantly. Speaking of Twitter and the smack-off, pretty much every year it does trend. I do not want that streak to end. Hear me loud and clear when I say this. The official hashtag of the Smack Off is hashtag Smack Off. I know, that's pretty clever. Hashtag Smack Off. Hashtag Smack Off. That's it. Don't get cute with it. Don't make this any more difficult than it needs to be. Hashtag Smack Off. It is not hashtag Smack Off 26. It is not hashtag The Smack Off. It's not hashtag Smack Off XXVI. It's just hashtag Smack Off. Got that? Hashtag Smack Off. No numbers, no Roman numerals, no the, just hashtag Smack Off. If we all use that, you might make that thing trend. It'll be cool. Keep it simple. Hashtag Smack Off. There it is. There is a quick rundown. There is your Smack Off Bible on how to watch, how to listen, how to stream, how to participate, how to hashtag it. If you missed any of that, if you need a further explanation, hit up Hawk. He lives for it. Call him up right now. All of you listening will play pretty much as big of a role as everybody calling. Find the show, get on Twitter, mix it up, hashtag every single one of your tweets. That way we can find them also and use them on the show if possible. Hashtag Smack Off, 2 days out. Stay ready so you do not have to get ready. All right, this guy wants to take one last shot at a golden ticket. He has tried about as hard as anybody else. He's come close. He just has not been able to finish. Let's go to SoCal. Jeff in SoCal. What's up, Jeff?
Rome, what up? Hey, you just confused the hell out of Ritt with all that tech talk. Hey, just smile and nod, Ritt. Smile and nod. Hey, Jim, first of all, no disrespect to Kyle in Green Bay, but is anyone surprised this kid had the time of his life in Omaha at the golf tournament? I mean, Omaha is New York City compared to Green Bay, but I suppose any city that has buildings exceeding 25 feet off the ground is eye-opening when you're from Green Bay. Hey, Kyle said he swam a pool overlooking the beautiful Omaha skyline. Jim, the Sherman Oaks Galleria has a better skyline than downtown Omaha, but I digress, Jim. It's Smack Off week, and that was a brilliant call by Lef on Monday to kick off the week. That didn't backfire at all. Hey, did Lef say he was going to book in the week or get broken this week? Lef going to drop a cameo on Smack Off Day? Jim, over here on the west side, we call that being back on your bull bleep. Lef, maybe you can get a MAGA hat this week to wear. You know, make America gimmicky again. Hey-o. Hey, Jim, tell your boy Garko if he loved Tobin back in the day, he's going to love Reggie in the OC. I mean, the more I hear that call, the better it gets. If you slow it down, in between that double throat clear, you can actually hear him mutter, Curcielli, global warming. Now, prior to having a stroke mid-phone call, Reggie was most famous for being bratty.
Ah! That's not a call. No. You don't like that call.
I don't like that call. Not a very good call.
Hey, Jeff, I can't knock that hustle. In fact, I respect it. Unfortunately, your phone can't keep up with you. And if I were to give you a golden ticket, I'm sure you would make the call on Friday from that same phone. The same phone that just cut out numerous times during the call. Your phone is not keeping up with you. Until you get a better phone, man, I can't give you a golden ticket. That ended badly. 1-800-636-8686. He may have had content good enough, but not a connection which was good enough. That's a good example, and this is why I said earlier this week, if you have the invite, if you're going to get on the air on Friday, man, get to a hard line. And if you can't get to a hard line, make sure you have a quality connection, or that could happen. Let that be known. You don't want that to happen. Make sure you have a clean line or a hard line. This guy's invited. He's been there before. Let's go to San Antonio, Gino. Gino, what's up? How you doing?
Man, getting a hard line might be the biggest disqualifier ever. Not since Neo has a group of people had to fight so hard to get a landline. I actually don't even have a landline. And both my grandparents are dead, so I can't count on them for a landline either. That's actually a pretty interesting qualifier from now on. I loved hearing JT the Brick earlier talk about how it's ironic during Smack-Off week that there's no sports. Since I don't really think it's ironic so much as appropriate. Nobody was going to talk about sports anyway. But I actually wanted to talk about Ashwood and the power of the jungle in Ashwood back in the day. Not that the jungle isn't so powerful now, but of course the great Silverback is no longer with us. But way back in the day, just on the strength of finishing on the podium during the Smack-Off, Andrew Ashwood offered me a job on WAI Radio, the 50,000-watt blowtorch, having no experience on radio other than the Jim Rome show. I won't say whose job I was going to take, but you used to call him Wiggles Pud, and he actually offered me that guy's job. I turned it down. I think about that all the time, whether or not that was the right call. But that just shows the power of the jungle and the Smack-Off. One good phone call can change your life. Rome, I will be listening on Friday. Love your show. Love you. Always.
Mutual respect, Gino. I love you, too. All right, so Gino, that's a great call. That's a really good call. Rakim, he said he'll be listening on Friday, which I take to mean he will not be calling on Friday, which is okay. Gino makes it better. Gino is one of the best callers in the history of this show. And for those of you who do not know, I mentioned Andrew Ashwood. He mentioned him. It came up when I had the conversation with JT the Brick. Yes, JT the Brick made his first appearance in 25 years on the show. He made his first appearance since winning the inaugural Smack-Off. And we had a great Q&A in hour number one. We talked about Andrew Ashwood. Andrew Ashwood was the PD at OAI in San Antonio, among other stations. OAI was a 50,000-watt blowtorch. It was a behemoth. Big time radio station. And I remember when I hit that market for the first time, again, that's where the corporate headquarters were. So for Andrew Ashwood to offer Gino a talk show on that radio station when he had no radio experience on the strength of the Smack-Off alone is absolutely incredible. Gino said, I've often thought about whether or not I made the right choice. You know, woulda, coulda, shoulda. You probably did, Gino. You've had a great life, great career of your own. You wonder, what if Gino had taken him up on that? Would he have run a parallel path with JT the Brick? Hell, man, Gino could have taken all of our jobs. Who knows, right? This is what I mean about that Smack-Off. And it's still going on. JT the Brick. JT the Brick's had an amazing career. And not because of the Smack-Off, but at least in part, right? That was a great jumping-off point. Gino said it himself. He was offered a show on a 50,000-watt radio station for being on the podium, for not even winning. I'm telling you, it could change your life. It has changed lives. It is the Smack-Off. It's for the best of the best. Hey, Gino, think about it. I know how you are, Gino. I know you might wake up morning of. Unlike a lot of these guys who are working it. I know you might wake up morning of and decide, you know what? I think I do want to do this. Gino, you're always welcome. If you want to be a part of this thing on Friday as a caller, you know you're welcome. At Hitman Canadian tweets, damn, Jeff in SoCal, step your phone game up. Signed, Jeff Passan.
Romy, apologies for the lack of an RSVP. I was making the news that the Dodgers and the rest of the
That's that. That might have been the best call ever, but we'll never know. Hey, listen, I understand what Gino's saying. Who has a hard line? Granted, most people do not. If you have one, use it. If you don't have one, find somebody who does have one. I know Brad's got one. I know Rick's got one. I know Lev's got one. I know Caleb's got one. I don't know how they have them, but I know they have them or they have access to them. They ain't playing. They know. Let's go to, what the hell, why not, right? We're rolling telephone calls. We're having an amazing week. I'll let them in. Parody Larry. Lawrence, what you got, Lawrence?
Welcome to the Smack-Off, where Brad's the reigning king, but Sean and Lef and Mike and Jeff are gunning for his ring. There's some golden ticket winners, and legendary names. So if you want the money, honey, you best step up your game in the jungle. Welcome to the jungle. Rome is going to bring you to knees. The clones want to still breathe.
Well, that's not a good call.
No. Done. Now you're done.
Not a very good call.
My man, bizarre as he ever was. Some kind of brand, right? Some middle-aged guy calling another middle-aged guy who hosts a sports talk show and just sings songs. Credit for this, though, Larry. I'll give you this. You went right to the song. That's how you get on the air. You went right to the song. Credit for that. The song sucked, but you got right to the song. So credit for that. It's a start. When we come back. Man, we're talking soccer, and I can't wait. Really good guest coming up.
Can't wait.
I'm fired up. Head coach of Los Angeles Football Club. That, of course, is Bob Bradley. That is next. I'm looking forward to it. Do not go anywhere.
You're listening to the Jim Rome Show.
This is a really good day. A really good day. Nice to be with you. I'm Jim Rome, live in Southern California. Good day because we've had great content, some great moments, good surprises. Let's change up a little bit. We're joined right now by the head coach of Los Angeles Football Club. He is a three-time MLS Coach of the Year, tied for the most in history, led LAFC to the Supporters Shield last season, led Chicago to an MLS Cup-winning season and two U.S. Open Cups, led the U.S. Men's National Team to a Gold Cup, a runner-up finish at the 2009 Confederations Cup, finishing top of the group at the 2010 World Cup. MLS is back. Tournament starts on July 8th in Florida. So a lot to cover with the head coach of LAFC, Bob Bradley. Bob, it's great to have you on the program. MLS is going to return next month, but before we get into all that, how are you doing and everybody around you, Bob, during this really unusual time?
Thanks, Jim. Good to be on. We are doing okay here at LAFC. We did have a few players that lost family members during the pandemic, a grandfather and a father-in-law. So we felt it like everyone. And also so many of our fans are doing important work, whether it's law enforcement or whether it's delivery or healthcare workers. So there's a lot of that. And then of late, like everyone in the country, our minds are with the protests and important issues that need reform. So we're getting ready for football again, but we've also had a lot of other things to think about.
No doubt about that. Well said. Bob Bradley is my guest. In fact, Bob, you wrote a piece for The Athletic about essential workers. Why was that something that you wanted to write about, and in particular about Jesse Begnami, your equipment manager with the U.S. national team?
Two reasons, Jim. The first was that essential workers all of a sudden became a hot topic. And obviously, we've always had essential workers, whether it's in teams or whether it's in cities, communities, neighborhoods. And I thought that it was a way to tell a good story and let people know how much we appreciate all their work. And the other part is for the people that were involved in 2010 and the World Cup, the behind-the-scenes heroes, 10 years. And it was a way of sort of thanking all of them 10 years after the period when we were all together. We were preparing for South Africa, and we had a lot of people that did great jobs, and Jesse was one of them.
Bob Bradley's joining us. He's the head coach of the Los Angeles Football Club. Now, Bob, you and I have something in common. We share a love of Bruce Springsteen. Let me ask you about the boss. How did you first get into Bruce, and what is it about his music that you connect with so much?
I'm a Jersey guy, and so I remember toward the latter part of high school, Greetings from Asbury Park, hearing something that was different and that I really enjoyed. And I guess like a lot of Springsteen fans, his music has just fit the experiences that my family and I have had over the years, and they've just gone together in a great way. I appreciate his honesty. I appreciate his passion and his ability to tell a story that's meaningful.
You know, Bob, when you talk about him and his content and the experience you're having, like the experience right now, for instance, Springsteen's got this line, quote, now 1 + 1 = 2. That happens every day. That's not magic. That's the grind, end quote. In fact, it's something you have on your wall. What does that line mean to you? And how valuable is that approach, that grind, when you and the club have been going through a very unusual spring?
Oftentimes in our coaching staff and with our team, we use 1 + 1 = 3 because when really good things happen, whether it's with a team or whether it's in life, it's got to be more than just the basics. There's got to be something else that's special that comes into play. You can't always put a finger on it. And I was lucky enough to see Springsteen on Broadway a few times, and his reflection and his ability to share those ideas when he was talking about his band. And I think that there's something that when you are trying to create a culture in a team, that there are similarities to where a band has to come together and it's got to be on the right, the same page, and everybody's got to feel it. So you look for different ways as a leader to connect with players, to try to create an environment every day that guys enjoy being part of. And so certainly over the years, not all the players that I've coached love Springsteen as much as me. I don't change their music in the locker room by any means, and I try to understand what they're listening to. But certainly the boss has been special for me and my family.
Agreed. Bob Bradley joining us. I'm glad you mentioned culture, because I was going to say, you're coming off a season where you had one of the truly great regular seasons in league history. I know that season didn't end the way you would have wanted, but it is a club that's only played two seasons, and both have been extremely successful in terms of results, but also on top of that, in establishing that culture you speak of. You've done this before with Chicago as well. How do you go about creating that kind of culture in that short a period of time?
I believe that in football, a club has to have identity and it has to connect to the city. And years ago in Chicago, that experience of the first signing being Peter Novak, he had been captain for the Polish team, and how that resonated in the Polish community in Chicago, and how we were able to find players that played with commitment and heart and soul, and how much our fans in Chicago appreciated that. And so when I came out here to speak to Tom Penn and John Thorington, I was so excited by not only the vision and the ownership, but I've got to tell you, the stadium, the location of the stadium in the city meant so much, because if you really want to feel the city, if you want to make sure that you are connecting with the diversity of Los Angeles, it just helps to have Bank of California located right next to the LA Coliseum, right there in District 9, Figueroa. That's pretty important. So we understood all of that. And before LAFC hired me, man, there were people that were out connecting with community leaders, connecting with church leaders, really doing the work to say, a team is coming and we want to make you feel part of it. And I think that type of ground up approach is incredibly important, and we don't see it enough maybe in some US sports. And I think in football around the world, that's the key to the best clubs.
We are talking to the head coach of the LAFC. It is Bob Bradley. Bob, so the league announced that it is going to return next month with a tournament in Orlando. What do you make of the format, Bob, and how do you go about preparing for that event?
Yes, it's been an interesting period as all these ideas were bounced around. First and foremost, I think we all are excited to bring the game back to our fans. MLS is in its 25th season. The game as a whole has grown in the United States, and I think real football fans in the U.S. miss it. And so coming back, bringing the game back so that people know that the effort to build the game is continuing, I think, is important. Of course, it had to be done in a safe way. So everybody by now knows more about bubbles and rules and protocols and safety measures than we would have ever expected. So there's a lot to it. The first three games are the games that count for the standings for the rest of the year. And then 16 teams will advance, and it'll become a knockout 32-team tournament. So we are excited to be back in full training. We missed that part. We missed showing up here every day and getting on the field and pushing the tempo and trying to make the football come to life. And now we're starting to focus on the fact that there's a trophy to be won, and that's always been the way we've gone about it, to try to be a team that competes for trophies.
Talking about the beautiful game, Bob Bradley's my guest. I've got him for a few more moments. Bob, it was 10 years ago at this time you were getting ready for the 2010 World Cup. What do you remember about that time and that experience overall?
It was so special to be part of the first World Cup in Africa. We had been there for a Mandela challenge, and we had been there for the Confederations Cup in 2009. So I think all of us appreciated how much that World Cup meant in Africa. And we felt good that we had a team that had really come together throughout qualifying. And the lead-in to the World Cup was special. We tried to make sure that all the details were covered. And one thing that I think back on lately is that as we were preparing, it's important sometimes to bring in some different voices. Players get sick of hearing coaches all the time. And we had a diverse team, and we had a group of talented black players. We had a group of players whose backgrounds were Hispanic. And we made a decision as a staff to have Bill Russell join us for 2 days before the World Cup, when we were still training in Connecticut. And now of late, in the last few days, Mr. Russell is still pertinent with his comments on what's going on in protests and racial equality. And his intelligence and his humor and his sense of teamwork, when he spoke to the team, man, that was just so perfect. And it still makes me proud to think that he kind of set us off to the World Cup in a really good way. And here we are 10 years later, and he's still saying things that everybody needs to hear.
It's so well said, and I couldn't agree with you more. I mean, I've done this for the better part of three decades now, Bob, and I interviewed Bill Russell, Mr. Russell, a couple of times in the 90s, and I remember thinking, I don't remember the stakes ever being higher. I don't remember thinking that I always want to be prepared whenever I talk to anybody, but especially him. And he walks in that room, and he just has a different sort of presence about him. Before I let you go, not to drop this name, but I'm friends with Greg Berhalter, and I take a lot of pride in that relationship. He and I have talked a number of times since he took the national job about the challenge of bringing players in from different clubs and developing a cohesive unit and a team identity. How did you approach that challenge when you worked on that level?
I think the starting point is just the pride and plan for your national team, and making it very clear that the national team is bigger than any one player. And every time you come into camp, how much it means. The group of players that we had, that older group, Tim Howard, Oguchi Onyewu, Steve Cherundolo, Landon Donovan, Clint Dempsey, those guys, Carlos Bocanegra, excuse me, those guys had been friends for a long time. And when they came into camp, the camaraderie was special. And as we added younger guys, Josie Altidore, Michael Bradley, Ricardo Clark, you just sensed that there was a real great leader group. It wasn't so much one guy. Carlos was the captain, but they led by committee, and they set the standard for making sure that every time we came in, everybody knew how special it was and how we had to be ready. So I know Greg will approach it in a similar way, because his experience playing for the national team has stuck with him. He's a person who loves the game. He's got great passion. So I think that will come across every time they have a camp.
He does have great passion and extremely analytical. He is the head coach of Los Angeles Football Club, a three-time MLS Coach of the Year, tied for most in history. The MLS is back. The tournament gets underway on July 8th in Florida. Bob Bradley, my guest. Bob, it is so good to have you on the show. Appreciate that conversation. Good luck. Let's be sure to do it again.
Good, Jim. Thanks for having me.
That was great. Bob, thank you. Appreciate you. And as you probably know by now, this is the official home of the beautiful game, the jungle. Love it. Great conversation. Bob Bradley making his jungle debut. And that will not be the last time if I have anything to say about it. We'll come right back. Hey, I ran heavy, but you know I get carried away when I talk about the beautiful game. I love it. Time for a sports update. Here is the latest on this Wednesday. Here is Rich Ackerman.
CBS Sports Radio. Sports Flash.
Once again, if you want quality talk about the beautiful game, you know where to find it. Time to answer your Ask the Pros question. You submit your question. I answer it. It's brought to you by O'Reilly Auto Parts. Think O'Reilly Auto Parts for all of your car care needs. Get guaranteed low prices. Excellent customer service at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Better parts, better prices every day. The ATP, Brent in PC. He's been coming strong lately. Jimmy Jim is Big Head coming to work on Friday with the smack off. Or is he just going to text you from home? Signed, Brent and PC. The Head will be here. The Head loves the smack off.
The smack off.
The Head loves the social aspects of the smack off. The Head wants to be here for the smack off. He's definitely in.
That's right.
So don't sweat that. Hey, Rome, I see Stucknut has set an over-under odds line of 17 as the number of smack-off calls taken on Friday. Please put me down for the under. Sign, Kip Winger, of course. I never once cracked a Kip Winger joke. I don't know how that became a thing ever on this show. I don't know how most things became things on this show. I just know that I have nothing to do with it. Other than my name's on the show. But I never once said, hey, you know what would be funny? Oh, I'll crack a joke about Kip Winger wanting to meet people under 17. That's not funny. I would never say that. Brian and Charlotte would. Has. Did. All right. So, as always, even in the midst of this pandemic, there were takes that I wanted to get to. I've been trying to talk about the 49ers all week long. They extended Kyle Shanahan. No-brainer. Rightfully so. Brilliant coach. You know, the thinking was he's outperformed his contract. They want to pay him something that reflected his value in the market. Like they're paying him like a top five coach. And they should. He is a top five coach. Maybe better than that. They took care of him. They should. Now they have to take care of John Lynch. And they will. I've been trying to get to that topic all week long. But there's so many good phone calls. And so much good smack off material. Let's keep rolling calls. This time we go to Southeastern Wisconsin, Chris in Wisco. What's going on, Chris? How are you?
I'm doing really good, Jim. How about you?
Good, good. What's the weather like today?
It's beautiful. 75 sunny degree day in southeastern Wisco.
Love it.
Hey, Jim, I really want to thank you for the vine. Love the show. Hawk finally opened up the gate. So now let me rumble through the jungle as I give my quick tactical rundown on some of the clones that get airtime on the greatest sports talk show on earth. With all due respect, Jim, the following clones need to grab bleacher seats in the jungle, starting with Caleb and Benny from northern Wisco. These two backwoods northern cheeseheads have sullied the rep of my beloved state. Benny, fumbling over your son Logan's name, that's not a tactical air roam. It's an unforgivable, I just sprayed a deuce in my boxers due to stage fright moment, and does not represent the true grit of the Badger State. Benny is more comfortable competing in a double elimination bag toss tournament at the local corner bar for free pitchers of watered-down tap beer. And then there's Caleb. The poor kid just needs my direction, Jim. I strongly recommend he considers relocating to SeaWorld in Orlando. There, Caleb can find fame and fortune beyond his wildest dreams, floating in a pool balancing beach balls off his nose to the thunderous claps of Florida tourists. Speaking of the backwoods, that grimy Duck Dynasty wannabe, Dan from Denver, looks like he has been in that ridiculous deer hunter guy camo gear without showering since Jarrah and the boys won a Super Bowl. Hey, Dan, shower, shave, repeat. And then there's 2002 Smack-Off winner Jeff from Richmond. Hey, Jeff, yes, a Benzo is a luxury sled, but not when your said luxury sled is 25 years old. It's time to let it go, dude. The Blue Book value on that thing is probably less than your weekly fast food bill. I love how Jeff brags about his ancient luxury sled just so he can boast that he owns one. It's kind of like him saying he used to be ripped and work out every day. Jeffrey, I'm begging you, get something that fits your style better. Buy a used minivan for you and the fam. The Benz is older than the cow manure Jerome from Houston has caked on his cowboy boots, bro. Get at me anytime and we can compare luxury sleds. I can show you what a new one looks like, you self-promoting ass clown. Lastly, Jeff, if you keep pounding industrial-sized bags of Kit Kats and gallons of frozen custard, next year that family pick you that you always show, it's going to need a silver screen just so the rest of your family can fit on it. Rome has an in-studio screen, but it isn't theater size. And how about Rick from Buffalo? That poor little guy probably works 10 hours a week as a school lunchroom supervisor, yet has the stones to refer to himself as a teacher? That's laughable at best, but classy and charitable of you, Jim, to allow him to do so. The following clones I highlighted are just a few of the many that are roaming the jungle, lost in their crappy takes, and the infinite mercy of Elvy not dropping the hammer on them. Instead, said clones would be better served pitching a reality show to Mark in Hollywood, where they get dropped into a life-size replica of the mangled goatee Matt from L.A. rocks. These clones then would have to somehow, against all odds, find their way out, you know, kind of like a Survivor theme type show. The BIC could be the host, but first he needs to put a shirt back on. Bradley, your pecs are specs, and nobody wants to see any more cringeworthy pics of you in that oversized fast food employee looking crappy visor with that $5 cigar hanging out of your mouth.
Chris, no, bro,
you don't like that call.
I don't like that call.
I like the call.
Not a very good call.
I like that call. Parts of that call really made me laugh. My concern was if I didn't jump in there and end that call, it would have never ended. You would have carried me into hour four. It would have been like the night show back in the day. And now we go into hour number five. Chris, what were we talking about? I thought that started off as like some Wisco on Wisco crime, and I was pretty happy about that. But then it hit me. He was going to run down everybody who was called the show in the last 5 years. And I knew we'd never get out of here on time. Man, my man has been taking notes. My man's been taking mental notes. My man had something for everybody. Literally, everybody. Is there anybody in the field that guy did not hit? Ass clown. That was strong. I mean, Chris, that's the fine line, Chris, between getting run and getting racked. I probably would have racked you, except you thought that was a smack off. I mean, what was that, like 8 minutes? He's probably still going right now and doesn't know that he's been run. And you, Dan in D.C., and you, Vic. I mean, he must have lit up 10 guys. Is there anybody that he missed? Hey, Terrence, I got something for you. And your guy, Eddie the Rope. Remember Eddie the Rope? This is the old school throwback. And so when I think about JT the Brick, who came on in hour number one, JT the Brick would remember this. I don't know how many of you listening would. Is there anybody listening right now who remembers that omnipotent throwdown between Eddie the Rope and Jim Lampley? These guys went at it on air once. Lamps must have been, either Lamps was doing his own show and Eddie the Rope called him, or Lamps hosted my show when I was in the basement and the Rope called him. But I remember they were going back and forth. I mean, literally was a like chitty, chitty, bang, bang. Like Lamps and Rope were like bang, 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 standing in the middle of the squared off circle. Bang, bang, bang. Where's the music to go along with that, Albie? Huge call. Chris in southeastern Wisco. How about him lighting up his two guys? Never thought I would see Wisco on Wisco crime like that. For all the ones who get it done, there is Grainger, offering supplies and solutions for every industry, plus 24/7 customer support and product specialists always ready to answer any question. Call or visit Grainger.com. Man, what a day. Bob Bradley, LAFC head coach. DJ Reader, Bengals defensive tackle. James Conner, Steelers running back. JT the Brick, inaugural winner of the Smack Off. Stucknut made his first appearance. Finally, don't forget, Daniel Cormier is my guest on the Jim Rome podcast, EP 134. We will push that out shortly. If you're already subscribed, it will find you. If not, you got to find it, but make sure you do. The Smack Off is Friday. See you tomorrow. We're out.